Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective serving over 800 student-athletes across 31 sports. I'm Jim Galante, along with Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Oh, we're doing great. Another week, another phase of the coaching hire, the transition, bowl game announcement. A lot going on, even though, you know, the season's over. Heisman announcement, Army, Navy. It was a good week. This is a fun week. This is, you know, we're starting to get into the Christmas holidays, all the Christmas events. This is a fun time of the year. Comes too fast.
I'm glad you mentioned Army Navy. I absolutely love that game every year.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list. I've never been there. It looks really cold. I've been to Navy. When I was at Marshall, we played at Navy in their stadium, and it was really cool. Really cool stadium, really cool area. But yeah, just like everything, the pageantry of it, like that's kind of like what I want to. That's why it's on my bucket list. All that, like, so just really cool. I thought it was really neat. The president was there. Like, regardless, whoever the president doing that every year should be a mandatory thing. I thought that was really neat. Just really cool event. I have to do it at some point.
And you know what? For those who complain about today's game, the money involved, the portal, all of that, it's a throwback game. And yeah, it's when you talk rivalry, it really is. You know that the players, they feel it. You know, it's go Navy, beat Army, vice versa. It's fantastic. And you mentioned the pageantry. I'll tell you what I want to do. My brother used to live in New York State, and he got to go to games at West Point. And he said it's fantastic for everything around the game, let alone the game itself. So
yeah, I just think in today's age and the all the military, all the schools, they don't mess with NIL, right? They don't have to deal with that. You know, these guys are going to be on the front lines here in a couple of years, which is just fascinating to think that they're doing this. They love football. Like, there's no question that every single one of those guys love football. I was listening to some radio shows this week, and they had a couple of the players on, and they're talking about their days, and it makes me feel lazy, like, listening to them. You know, like, they get up super early. They got the military routine. They got the classes. A lot of them just found out their assignments, where they're going to be going, the ones that graduate, which is like a huge deal, which is so cool. Just everything about it is really neat. And I love everything about it.
And you know, they're not taking basket weaving as their major. But
yeah.
Let me give you my quick favorite Army-Navy story, or it's actually a Navy story. I worked in D.C. when I first got out of school, and at our office, there were multiple Annapolis grads, and one of them I worked quite a bit with, and a Navy grad, and he was a lot of fun. He actually graduated with Roger Staubach. And yeah, you ever see, you know, the film, the videos of graduation day where they all take off their hat and throw it up in the air? Yeah. And there's actually kids around who are stealing those hats or taking them. Well, what they do is they get like their oldest hat that they use for it, one that they don't mind losing. And he said what a whole bunch of them did was underneath their hat, they penciled it, or they wrote Staubach on their hat. So when they threw it up, if any kid got their hat, they thought they got Roger Staubach's. So anyway, let's move a little closer to home. Let's talk about some Penn State football. And it's always been fascinating to me, Mike, over the weeks you've been talking about, since James Franklin was let go, chasing normalcy in the building, that finally it was starting to come about with Terry, some normalcy settling in. Now you've got the huge changeover, Matt Campbell coming in. What has that been like in the building? Are you seeing a whole lot of the Iowa State guys moving in? What's it been like in the building?
I think this is the phase where Coach Campbell's in and he's starting to put together his staff as everybody follows online and reads the articles. And that, in fact, is happening. He's been meeting with the players, the coaches, and just establishing his staff. And that first wave of his hires, you know, they're transitioning to the facility, getting their feet wet on campus. And it's an exciting time while, you know, Terry's, you know, still coaching the team up for the bowl game. So it's been cool getting to meet some of the new guys. Coach Campbell obviously has been meeting with all the players, but just a different vibe, great vibe. You know, everybody has their ways and philosophies of how they want to coach and how they want to be looked at and perceived by the players, the parents, administration. And, you know, some people feel like they have to put on like a, some kind of like, I don't know, some like the coach speak, or they got to put on some kind of facade. But, you know, my vibe off of this staff is that they are who they are. They have, you know, success in all the different areas of an organization. And most importantly, when it comes to on the field, and they're going to stick to their processes. And it's a good feeling in there. It's a refreshing feeling, talking to these guys. It's an exciting time. And I think everybody should be really excited, especially as the staff comes there. I haven't met everybody obviously, but, it's exciting.
It has to be. It's a new beginning. And I'm kind of curious now, it's kind of a weird new feeling going on, because you still have coaches remaining to handle the bowl game before it's carries the head coach through the bowl game. So he's coaching that. I want to get to the rest of the staff, but let's just start with Matt Campbell, Terry Smith. We learned in the press and Matt Campbell's press conference that they had a prior relationship, which I think is incredible in helping in this transition. And he was asked about how that will work at practices. And I liked his answer that he wasn't, you know, arrogant about it. It was kind of like, well, you know what? That's kind of a tough situation. You straddle a line between, you know, wanting to be involved and part of it, but also stepping back and allowing the head coach of the game, Terry Smith, to do his job. What has been your feel on that relationship, Matt Campbell and Terry Smith?
Honestly, from my lens and what I see and feel, I think it's been as, you know, as best as it could be executed. Because it could be very weird, the dynamics, right? New coaches, new staff, transition, all that. But the fact that you touched on that they have a prior relationship, they have a respect for each other, that helps. So that I think that respect just automatically, naturally, the staff of Coach Franklin and still underneath Terry resonates, right? They know Terry respects them. They have this mutual respect. So it's been good. It's been, I think, really good.
And I also really admire Terry Smith for sticking around where that could be very awkward for him. I mean, there was no doubt that he wanted the position. But as Penn Staters, you look at this and you see a guy who kind of his own personal desire for the job has not gotten in the way of his love of the university, of all things Penn State. So for him to take that position and stick around and help in this transition, I have a lot of respect for Terry for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it falls in line with everything that we've been saying about him since the beginning of this, the type of person he is, his reputation, You're not going to hear a bad thing about Terry. So, yeah, I'm glad it all works out. You know, it's funny how good things work out to, you know, good people.
It is, and it's great to see. Now, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the staff. We're seeing, you know, all these names of folks who are going to follow James to Virginia Tech. Don't blame, like, Ty Howe. It's a great promotion from him. He's going from tight end to offensive coordinator. Chuck Losey, strength and conditioning guy, been with James forever, following him. Phil Troutwine getting the job at Florida. Jim Knowles going to Tennessee. Stan Drayton, South Carolina. Now, I saw Stan Drayton said he was going to stick around for the bowl game. Mm-hmm. And what a great quote from him. He was, I guess, talking to, you know, the South Carolina people and was like, yeah, I'm going to stay there for the bowl game and beat Clemson, which if you're talking to a South Carolina crowd, you're playing to your audience very well. So kudos to him for that. How about the other guys? Are any of them still around or have they made their way to their new jobs already?
You know what, to be honest, Jim, I've been kind of out of the loop with that. You know, it's such a big building. You're almost separated when you're walking through there. Sometimes you can never see some people because it's just such a big building with so many things happening right now. I'm reading stuff and I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So I've seen some coaches in and out of there. You know, the big talk is trying to retain some of the lettermen, and you know, I've seen Dan and those guys and Trace and those guys around Jordan. So hopefully they stick around. We talked in the previous shows, those guys can really help, you know, bridge that gap when it comes to the relationship with the new coaches and the staff, when it comes to the recruiting ties and all that. So they can really help, especially with the players and the retainment of those guys as well. So those guys are huge, and key, to sticking around. So I can see why Coach Campbell's making a big deal about it.
I could see that also. Now he absolutely has to bring in his main guys, his offensive coordinator, his defensive coordinator, his strength and conditioning guy, I guess he's bringing in also, just like, you know, James is bringing all those kind of folks to Virginia Tech. I do want to talk to you a little bit about what they're building there at Virginia Tech, but when we come back, Mike, what I want to ask you about is how you think the bowl game practice will look like with Terry handling it, with Matt Campbell there. We're going to do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director over at HVU. This is quarter number two of our show. Mike, we're talking about this interesting time period for Penn State with the changeover in coaching staffs. And I want to get into, you know, how that's going to be handled. But before I get there, I can't help it. I've got to ask you about what's going on at Michigan, which it's just absolutely incredible. You know, I watch TV shows, you know, like the Law and Order and those kind of things. And there'll be a show about someone who's a prominent coach or athlete. And you just say, boy, you know, that is so unrealistic. It would never happen. Well, guess what? It's happening at Michigan. Have you ever heard of anything so incredible?
College football, yes. I think there's been some crazy stories, but this is up there. This is definitely tier one, some of the craziest. Especially when you saw that picture of him or that video of him in the prison gear and all that at the hearing.
Yes.
At that point, it's just sad. I think when you see that really hits, I don't know why it hits me differently. It's like, gosh, it's sad, man. This guy was top of the world. Right. And I don't know, we're making $6 to $8 million a year. One of the best jobs in the country. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's the sad reality of, this profession. You got to be careful. A lot of coaches, they get caught up and, you got to be careful. It's a thing with, Coach Campbell and all these head coaches when they're hiring their staffs and that support staff, which is huge, right? It's like 3 or 4 times bigger than the 10, 11 coaches, right? He has to hire them and he's got to be careful when it comes to the female part, because these coaches and these guys and these males are going to be around this staff more than they are their family, and a lot of these guys, they've traveled a lot. Like, that's just their life. They're always on the road. They're on the road more than they see their family. And so it just naturally, some of that stuff just happens. And it's unfortunate. It sucks. I hate Michigan. Always have. But I don't even think you see too many Ohio State fans really rubbing it in, just because it's to the point where it's really sad. And I don't think it's over. From what I saw last night, I saw that Michigan is actually going to investigate the entire athletic department. But if they're doing it, then it's okay. Is that just to say that we did it? I think if I was Michigan, I'd be a little bit more worried if it was an outside party. But obviously they have issues. I don't think that AD is completely scot-free of all of this. I think that they knew. I think a lot of my – so I am from Ohio. Grew up, with a bunch of Ohio State fans. And some of my best friends are Ohio State fans. And we were talking about it when it went down. I'm like, this stuff, usually gets covered up in other places. Especially when you're talking about the head coach. I've been around – I know a ton of – I've been around and heard a ton of stories, and some true, some not, but there is some validity to, covering this stuff up at other places. And at a place like Michigan, I think he was targeted with this, if I had a guess, because – or it's just this guy was so reckless, which it seems like he was, that he got himself in trouble, and it was probably only a matter of time. If you're DMing – and texting OnlyFans at halftime, man, you got major issues, major issues. I ran into this at Mississippi State when I was there. It was a young, up and coming baseball coach, and baseball at Mississippi State's
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And the same thing, he was texting a girl during a baseball game. if you're doing that, there's some other issues that you probably have to address. Especially if you're DMing at halftime of a game, an OnlyFans model. What are we doing?
Well, there's such an arrogance in a lot in that industry, but not only that one. Yeah. On this show, often when issues come up, players hitting the portal for more money. And I get listeners, oh, how could they do that? No loyalty to the program. I try to turn it around and say, look, if someone were looking to double your salary, wouldn't you go to that other company? And it's the same thing here. If you look around at private industry and just normal day-to-day businesses, this stuff goes on all the time. It's not saying it's right. It's just saying – it happens. But when you're that high profile, making that much money, you put so much at risk. And I guess they were quoting Nick Saban in one of his books. He talked about this kind of thing happening. And his comment was, you never mess around with someone who has a lot less to lose than you.
Yeah, I did hear that. I heard it come up a couple times this week. The other dynamic to this, too, is a lot of these colleges are in kind of smaller communities, right? Smaller areas. They're not big metropolitan areas with a big pool and big population of people. So these younger females that are trying to, you know, rise through the ranks of college football or college athletics, period, are in these like bubbles. I kind of look at it as, right? Like you're in the, like a Penn State is like a Penn State bubble. Everything's Penn State in this town, right? And it's a rural area. There's not a ton, it's not a huge population compared to like Pittsburgh or Philly, right? So like a lot of these younger females that are just young, you know, business professionals that aren't married yet or still looking, the pool really isn't big for them, right? To find, you know, somebody and a connection with people like you could like in a city. So that, I think there's that dynamic. You know, I've lost employees before because they wanted to, you know, change their job because, you know, they were getting older. This from a female's perspective, they were getting older. They knew, you know, they weren't going to really, there wasn't much in that particular town. So they wanted to kind of explore as they're getting older, because you know how women are and females are, they have a clock, you know, at least my wife did. And so that's another dynamic to this whole thing. I just know as time goes on, social media, you know, screenshots of texts and DMs, like coaches are like so careful anymore. So like I remember Coach Franken, he would ask people like if he could give them a hug, and it could be like a mom or a parent, but if it was a female, he was like, so you just like very careful, because you just, these times and days, like you can turn anything. So you have to be that much more careful, and you got to be over the top. And that's why it's so crazy that Sharon Moore was so reckless about this. Like, come on, man.
And like you said, it was apparently an open secret at Michigan. And you wonder if he had finished the season 11-1, would it still be a secret because he's been successful on the field?
Yeah, the timing's just terrible. Like, but you know, I did hear like the investigation's been going on. I don't know what's going to come out. Allegedly, they fired her. That's why she came out and talked. It's just messy. It's just a complete mess. But you know, you can't. They can't blame anybody else but themselves with this. They knew who they were hiring. Sharon Moore wasn't like, he just didn't turn into this guy once he got that head coaching title. Like, he was probably even worse when he was an assistant coach and he was always on the road and all these different places and all that. Like, I don't know. I'm just speculating here. All of this is alleged, but it's an unfortunate situation, especially for that wife and those kids. And I can't imagine. I'm trying to think, like, it maybe, you know, his comeback, like, what's that look like? Usually guys that run into stuff in this profession, like Sark at USC, you know, he had an issue, he addressed it, took care of himself, went to this Nick Saban world of rehab, and you know, he came back on top. This is different, because like, it's a felony, you're talking about threats. Like, I don't know how this guy ever makes it back to the college profession, unless it's, you know, I saw something funny. He was like, yeah, he's gonna do a podcast. He's going to be a podcast guy.
Yeah, that's hey.
Well, you look at the Ohio State quarterback coach. He might have been the quarterback coach. I forget what he was. Zach Smith. Remember when he got in all that hot water with Ohio State? You know, now he's doing a podcast. Yeah, I think he's actually doing pretty good, his show. I kind of watch it sometimes here and there. But just not Michigan. College football is messy. Like, think about all this, like, just not Sharon Moore, the Ohio State stuff, all the stuff that's gone down in all these SEC schools too, like the thing at USC, the thing with Lane Kiffin, the thing, like, it's just messy. It's just messy because you live in bubbles. And that's the one big thing that I, me getting older with two kids and a wife, it was easy to move around and you're not really thinking about, you know, diversity and all those different things when you're coming up in the business. But as your kids get older, you want them around as much different type of people as possible. And once you get outside of these small towns, you're like, holy crap, it hits you. Like, man, there's a lot more diversity outside of these small college towns. And you kind of want that for your kids, right? But unfortunately, that's just kind of what you sign up for. But yeah, because I remember we were in Mississippi, and then we had a bowl game in Tampa. And yeah, I love Tampa. And I remember going there, and I'm like, man, there's just – it's huge. Like, you just kind of want that for your kids. Right. Yeah. But that's kind of what you sign up for when you go to these small towns.
It is. I lived in D.C., then Philadelphia, and now I'm back near my hometown, the small town. And I was asked quite a bit when I first moved, you know, is it better or worse? It's not better or worse. It's different. There's some great advantages. But, you know, it's a small thing. I lived in Philly, and there was, like, always a college basketball game almost every night, a good one to go to, you know. Yeah. Just access to that type of thing, you miss out on that. When we come back, Mike, I do want to ask you about Michigan's coaching search. We're going to do that right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Well, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim. He's Mike. We're talking all things Penn State football and a little bit of Michigan football with what's going on, Mike. I am finding it really, really fascinating after we went through this whole Penn State football coach search. It's almost like we're hearing the exact same things with Michigan with this search. Some of the same names, Kellen DeBoer, is, you know, there's like, oh, well, it's Michigan. Certainly he'd come here and leave Alabama, you know, just like the thought. You know, Penn Staters thought he might come here, but it's a lot. Kenny Dillingham from Arizona State. It's the same names coming up, and the same thing is happening. Dillingham, who was probably the most prominent name, lo and behold, he gets an extension, or apparently is going to get an extension from Arizona State. I was just curious what your reaction is to their search.
I guess, like, just question marks when it comes to that. I don't know who the – I've heard – I think it was the Chargers or the Rams coach that went there.
Minter,
yeah, I guess he's a Michigan guy. But then, you know, you hear all over the media that they probably just need to restart and clear out everybody of, you know, of the Michigan man type of guy. But, I mean – I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with this. DeBoer, who knows what is real with DeBoer? DeBoer, like, it's like Coach Campbell, like 10 years ago, his name was up for everything, right? And who knows if Coach Campbell would probably never even leaked some of that stuff out. It was just his name was just an automatic name to put on a list, right? Yeah. Like, that's like DeBoer right now, it seems like. But, yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with this. I don't think it's going to be a big splash high. They're not going to be able to – I don't think there's somebody out there that unless, you know, maybe they're able to pull Marcus Freeman, which is more – seems becoming more of a reality that could happen. His name getting tossed around with New York Giants and some other NFL teams. and with what's happening at Notre Dame, like, is that something that he wants to do and make a jump? He's a splash hire. So we'll see. Now, think about that. Already this coaching carousel has been crazy. Then you add Sharon Moore debacle. Now, imagine if Freeman leaves for the NFL. Huge domino at Notre Dame. Like, just insane. We're just talking about how crazy college football and messy it is. Like, it's just nuts. I want some normalcy. I want a routine, and I just want to go about my routine and not have to worry about all these different coaching jobs and changes. Just been nuts. But, yeah, to answer your question, I don't know who they're going to hire. I honestly have no idea.
Well, I have an issue with – I think it's a mistake to say we want the home run hire. You know, we want the biggest name. And the problem with that is if you're Marcus Freeman, no matter what the issues are at Notre Dame, it can't be as messy as it is at Michigan.
Yeah, right. But also, like, what makes a splash hire? So that person that's just, like, is successful for that year or that maybe the past two seasons or something like that? Well, it probably took that person, minus the outlier of Cignetti, right? Don't count Cignetti. But it probably took that coach some time to build up to that, right? Like, it takes time. Each place is unique. It takes time to get adjusted and apply your processes, especially like if you got like Coach Campbell, for example. He's a great fit here. Like, just his personality, his staff, and everybody that he's hiring, they're just a good fit. So naturally, like, they're going to transition a little bit better than, you know, like maybe Satake that would have came in, which is just a different type of person, right? Different philosophy, all that stuff. He's probably a little bit further away from like a Penn State fit. So they would have been harder for him to transition versus somebody that is like Coach Campbell. But yeah, building up to being successful, it takes time, usually, you know, unless you're Kurt Cignetti and you are basically undefeated in two seasons and just had a Heisman Trophy winner, you know.
Yeah, I think Cignetti, it's the crazy outlier. But also, I think the thing with Cignetti was nobody knew who the heck he was before he got to Indiana.
Yeah.
He was at James Madison. And that's kind of my point. No one knew who Ryan Day was until he became the head coach at Ohio State. No one knew who Dabo Sweeney was until he became the head coach at Clemson. I should add this. And they started winning. You know what I mean?
Or how about Jim Tressel from Youngstown State?
Perfect example. Exactly. But you were from that area. He was known as a very good coach, though, but just at the highest level.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I think people in Youngstown still were a little bit surprised, and even Ohio State fans were a little surprised. But everybody loves Tressel. Like, love Tressel. I think my first game I ever saw, a college game, was a Youngstown State game.
See, and that's where I everybody wants to win the press conference, we always put it. Get the right guy, not necessarily a guy with the biggest resume. And I think Michigan is going through that process kind of the way, you know, Penn State did. So we'll see how that turns out.
I'm going to throw a name out to you, Jim. I'm going to throw a name out there that – may not be this year's hire. He just signed an extension. But one of my friends, Jason Eck, is he's been an up-and-comer, but he is going to be a big-time coach. He just has it all. That he has a skill set, I think, that can apply to many different schools. He's a ball coach first, and then he does all the other things really well. Which I could probably say about Coach Campbell and his staff. Like, I think they're ball people first, right? It's all about development, ball first, and then they're really good at the other stuff too.
Where's this? Where's he coaching now?
Eck is at New Mexico.
Okay.
So I coached with him for a season at Hampton, and then he went off and has been all over the place. And he's been successful everywhere. And in the first season, there. He's flipped a team that is has been bad for a long time. And they just gave him an extension because his name started popping up in a couple of searches.
But actually, I do think I've seen it. It isn't it amazing how you can meet some people and just realize how special they are? I think I've relayed this story on the air. If not, I'll just do the short version. I was 13 years old when I met Jim Valvano, the basketball coach who won the national championship at NC State. When I met him, I'm in ninth grade, and he was the coach at Bucknell. I was 13 years old at the time, Mike, and I could have told you right then, this guy is incredible, absolutely amazing. And you just know when you're in the presence of someone like that who's special. All right, let's shift gears. Let's get back to Penn State. And I am really fascinated by how this will work, this preparation for the bowl game. With, you know, Matt Campbell, Terry Smith. I know if you're Matt Campbell now, I'm sure you're watching these practices, monitoring. What is it as the next head coach? And you're the guy who has to decide just how hard you're lobbying individual players to stick around. When you're watching practice, other than just all out talent, what is it you're looking for in watching these guys?
You're probably looking to see, like, maybe not so much what they actually do between the whistles. It's basically what they do, you know, off the field preparation. How are they around other players? How are they around their coaches? He's probably looking for all those kind of like champion tangibles in players. Because the roster's talented, right? Like, a lot of guys can win with this team and this roster, but is it your type of guy? He's probably trying to figure each guy out. Does he really love ball? Which I think is going to be really important. And he's going to, you know, bust his tail every single day to be the best person that he can be. I think it's a two-way thing. I think now players are probably looking at him too, and they're trying to figure each other out. And then, you know, after they meet a couple times and talk, they probably are going to have to make a decision what they want to do. And they go from there. So I think it's a two-way street. They're trying to fill each other out, but ultimately, like, Coach Campbell knows what he wants. He knows the DNA of the team that he wants. So he's going to try to keep those players that exemplify that. But it's a process. But he's in the middle of it right now. He's in the thick of it right now. And it's trickier now, too, because of the money and the portal and people tampering, the agents. There's just a lot of other variables that Coach Campbell, luckily, you know, has a big staff for this. GM Derek Dozier is able to help him, you know, manage all this. But huge task for him. But I think, honestly, I've talked well about Penn State players always and the way they are, their makeup. They've always been different to me. And I think these players, they're off the field tangibles, I think will look good to Coach Campbell. I think there's going to be a lot to look at that he can build off of with these players. Now, not everybody's going to be a good fit, right? You had Elliott Washington, who I liked, entered the transfer portal. Schaffler entered the portal. You got, you know, a couple guys that will probably hit the portal again. But, you know, I think for the most part, when people meet Coach, you know, Coach Campbell, it's going to be refreshing. It's just a different vibe with him. And that vibe may go well with some of these players. It may not. But I think for the most part, guys that like ball are going to like Coach Campbell, are going to want to stick around.
Well, and I've done this before with our listeners, is warn them that every situation is an individual case. You know, it doesn't make a guy a bad guy if he wants to move on. Who, you don't know what the family situation is. You don't know if geography is a part of it. You don't know any of those things. So I know it's very easy to judge, hey, a player left, it's, oh, he's a quitter. Or you start hearing those things from the fan base. And I want people to just remember that you know what, it's an individual here who might have their own real reasons for making that change. Anyway, we're going to talk about some of the individual players and positions and what we look for in guys coming back. We're going to do that, Mike, right after this break. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. It's quarter number four of our show. He's Mike. I'm Jim. We've been talking about, you know, this transition and this transition period going into the bowl game. We've got Matt Campbell now in place as the next head coach. Harry Smith still in charge going into the bowl game. And, you know, we're talking, Mike, about what it is Matt Campbell will look for in the players. I'm finding one of the really fascinating aspects is at the quarterback position. You and I, we've talked about the quarterback so often, how important it is.
Yeah.
You and I are both big Ethan Grunkmeyer fans.
Yeah.
You know, there's a decision that needs to be made, and there's three people involved. There's Ethan Grunkmeyer, there's Matt Campbell, and there's Rocco Beck from Iowa State, veteran quarterback, knows Matt Campbell's system, has been successful with it. So, you know, again, the players also have to decide where they want to be. But Matt Campbell also is part of that decision. Do you stick with Ethan Grunkmeyer? Do you try to get the guy you're familiar with over the last several years in Rocco Beck? And by the way, what's interesting to me is, and I think Matt Campbell has already said this, he has some familiarity with Ethan Grunkmeyer because I believe he recruited him.
Yeah, I remember his core tie is Ohio, remember? So like, right, that's going to be huge for us moving forward with our connections to Ohio and that recruitment there. You should see an uptick here in the next couple of years, which is good. Obviously, I'm biased. But I think this is a really tough one. I don't know. There's a lot of conversations that are going to help figure this out that are going to be between, you know, those guys and Coach Campbell. But they're all really good. Both are really good quarterbacks, right? Rocco, I didn't really like Rocco coming out of high school. And his dad was a legend at West Virginia where I played at that same position too. And I remember he was like kind of smaller and then he kind of sprouted a little bit and he can sling it. And then I saw that Iowa State took him and it just like, you always had a respect for their evaluations. And then he turns into what he's turned into. So like, just another example of the development and their evaluation process, but he's a hell of a player, knows the system, knows everything. Now he just did. I think it was reported he just had labrum surgery. So there's that variable that you got to look at his health, when he's going to be able to come back, all that stuff. You got to figure that out. You know, what's the appetite for Grunkmeyer from Coach Campbell and the staff? You know, those meetings are going to be important. His system, does Grunkmeyer fit his system? That's a tough one. That is a tough one because, yeah, like you said, you got to have a quarterback. And the other thing, too, is like you need to have some people behind that quarterback that you're developing. And so hopefully we'll be in a position where we have two guys that we can trust with a third or fourth that we're going to develop.
That it is a tough decision, and I think that there's also part of this is the I believe it would be Rocco Beck's last year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Where Grunkmeyer, he has a couple years of eligibility left. I think that's also got to play a part in the. I don't think that's your ultimate decision maker, but it could be the tiebreaker.
Right.
I think it's funny how, as Penn Staters, I'm probably partial to the current guy. And
obviously, like naturally, we're gonna like Gronk. I like Gronk, but I do. Like, but Rocco, just like outsiders looking in, like everybody likes Rocco, I think, around the country. Like he's a hell of a quarterback. He's gritty. He's Iowa State. So having a guy with that kind of experience coming in, it's a hell of a problem to have, I think. Now he's more proven than Gronk, so you kind of have to like look at where they're at, right? Like there's probably a higher ceiling with Grunkmeyer. But is Grunkmeyer going to want to sit, if that's a thing, for a year behind a Rocco if Rocco wanted to come in? And I'm just speaking hypotheticals here, but there's just all of those questions. It is a tricky decision that they're going to have to make.
And, you know, when you talk about, well, this is why the head coach makes the big dollars. This is the kind of decision because it does have repercussions as you go down the line. You know, the other decisions, you know, I was contemplating asking you, gee, who are the names on this team that you would emphasize having to stick around? But that's probably a pretty straightforward question. You know, you've got talented players and, you know, we could name them, you know, Chaz Coleman and Darius Dixon. You know, it's obvious where some of this talent is. It's the quarterback position, though, where you could only have one on the field at the same time. You know, you could only have one at a time out there. That's where the tough decisions come in.
Yeah, that's a real tough one. just like we continue to talk about the importance of that position, it's just like the NFL. If you don't have a quarterback, you're screwed. And so you got to have that guy, especially at the beginning. That's tough for any kind of coach to come in and have a quarterback struggle. It's gonna deter the progression that they obviously want coming in for year one. So it's a huge decision. I wish I had the answer. I definitely don't. I just think a lot of the decision is going to be decided by the conversations that he has with Gronk. How does he feel about Gronk? Watching the tape on Gronk, he's going to evaluate him from his standards and his expectations. Does he see the same things that me and you see in Gronk, the higher ceilings? He may or may not. So that might already be worked out. We'll see. I think we'll hear a lot this week.
We will. And speaking of hearing a lot this week, I think we're going to start hearing. We've had you know, a full few players already say they're opting out of the bowl game. Nick Singleton, Zane Durant, Zaki Wheatley. I don't think any of the names surprise anybody, and I suspect we might get a couple more of those. But what we're also starting here also is some of those Iowa State recruits now are being recruited by Matt Campbell to come here to Penn State, and he can, you know, kind of cherry pick the very best of those guys, bring them here. So we're going to start hearing, Mike, some of that going on. So what does that schedule look like between potential high school recruits and also transfer portal guys? When are we going to start hearing more of those names?
I think you're going to start hearing transfer portal guys now. Now that opens up, I think the January 2nd is when the portal officially opens up, and then you'll be able to have guys on campus and you'll start hearing a real uptick of names coming in and rumors and fun stuff like that. So that's all being worked out now. Those conversations are happening now, just like Coach Franklin was having conversations with our commits once he got let go, right? He was right on top of it. And I think it's the same thing, obviously different situation for Coach Campbell, not being let go, but he's moving to another school where I think would look pretty attractive to those same type of recruits that he's recruiting. So I think he'll have the pick of the litter out of there, because I think a lot of those kids didn't just – I think they committed to Iowa State, but obviously Matt Campbell and his staff and his reputation, more than likely they committed to Iowa State because of Matt Campbell and his staff.
Yeah, I'm sure that is part of it. And then, you know, I haven't looked at the numbers, and I don't suspect you have either, Mike, but between the limited number of recruits coming in, the large number of players who, you know, came back for that last year of eligibility and are going to be moving on, when the math is done, this team needs to be very active in the transfer portal, does it not?
Well, it depends on these meetings. Like, I didn't know, I wouldn't have guessed Elliot Washington transferring, entering the portal, right? So that leaves a hole in the roster. So they got to address that hole now. So after all these player meetings, and they can sit back and look at the roster based off of who decided to enter the portal or enter the portal, now they have to address how do they want to fill those gaps. Is it going to be high school or is it going to be the portal? I think I talked about that last week. That's kind of the process, I think, from a standard anywhere. You know, they got to see who's going out. And then after they determine who's leaving, all right, how are they going to fill those gaps? So I think that's the process now.
Well, from the outside looking in, it looks like there's either going to be a case where you're either going to need a lot of guys from the portal or a real lot of guys from the portal, because you typically would think you're going to bring in over 20 guys in the recruiting class.
Yeah.
And right now they're at 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I think we'll see a lot of things. It already did this past week, but it started picking up with the recruiting. They hit the ground running. And I think you're just going to continue to see guys jumping on board, whether I think you're going to start hearing rumors about the portal. And then you'll continue to see, I think, some Iowa State commits and some former signees flirt with the option of coming to Penn State. What I don't want to see, and this is my pet peeve, and my old man is now, is seeing USC kids put graphics up and saying they're re-signing deals. And like they're free agents and they're re-signing. Like that, I don't know. I could be wrong, but at first glance at that, it rubs me the wrong way. Like what are we doing? Like, and that's such a USC thing for them to do too. Hey, what are you doing? Re-signing, taking a picture of them re-signing. Like, that's garbage to me.
Now, are these kids straight out of the high school commits who are now doing that?
No, it's their current players.
So it's back. Current players just saying, hey, I'm choosing to come back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What are we doing?
It is absolutely, Mike, it's a different world, and Penn State is right in the middle of it, you know, with this coaching change, bowl game coming up, transfer portal incoming, outgoing, recruiting class, trying to catch up with that. What we do know, Mike, is there's going to be a lot for us to talk about.
So join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.